I'm Dr. Francis wishing you happy holidays. When you're looking for that perfect present to give to those you love, look no further than Walmart. This year, joyfully and giftfully with the diversity of products created by Black entrepreneurs. This message is sponsored by Walmart.
Welcome to the Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast. Inside the business, buzz, and brilliance of Black entrepreneurs. Here is your host, Dr. Frances Richards.
What happens in Vegas goes all over the world on Black Entrepreneur Experience, episode number 267. Thank you for joining us as we elevate the Black Entrepreneur Experience by interviewing CEOs, thought leaders, Black entrepreneurs, and innovative thinkers across the globe. I'm your host, Dr. Frances Richards. Providing counseling and advice to businesses, business owners, and their families in the area of corporate commercial transactions and legacy planning is her specialty. Welcome, attorney Pamela Denise Mack.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you for joining us. And I've given our audience such a brief bio. Why don't you fill in the gaps and share with our audience what you'd like them to know about them and your business?
Sure. So I'm Pamela Mack. I'm a practicing attorney in the Southeast Michigan area, just right outside of the city of Detroit. As you've indicated, my law firm is the Mack Law Group, and our slogan is we mind your business and we mind your legacy. And the reason we say that is because we provide four areas of business services: contract, negotiation, anything commercial, contract, commercial transactions we cover, which would include real estate transactions. We do intellectual property, which would be copyright and trademark, data privacy, which is helping companies to manage all this data that they have in a safe and informed way. And then we also mind your legacy. So minding your legacy is making certain that all of these wonderful assets and things that you have accumulated over life goes where you want, to the people that you want, in the way you want it to go. So we do estate planning. And I started my career, I've always sort of stayed in Michigan, started my career really not as a lawyer. Started it working for General Motors, and then I moved on to do some pharmaceutical sales for Merck and Company. Then I just continued to have this stirring to say, okay, I really do want to do law. It's always been my desire. And so I went to law school and really spent the bulk of my legal career, the most of my legal career, practicing over 20 years, working as in-house counsel, meaning I worked exclusively for one company or two companies, or it really in-house counsel just says, okay, we only serve the company that we are working within. So I started my in-house counsel career working for Kmart Corporation on their bankruptcy team, then managing their real estate portfolio. They moved away from Michigan. I moved on to a Michigan global company that does inventory services, and I served as their contract negotiator for all of their agreements and managed their data privacy. They operated in, I think, 40 different countries. So when you're talking about data privacy, that is really key to make certain that you're managing all the data in accordance with the laws in which you're working, in accordance with the laws in which you operate. So having done that for several years, I had a little boy. He was sitting at home. No, he wasn't sitting at home. I remember distinctly the moment when I said, okay, something's got to change. So I had this little boy. He's at the daycare. His dad is a very busy litigator. I'm in-house counsel, and we're both trying to get to him at a reasonable time. We're running after work. And, you know, one day I went and picked him up, and he was sitting on the bench. He's always a thumb sucker. So he's sitting on the bench, last kid, with his thumb in his mouth. And I said, okay, Lord, this is not why I prayed so long for this child, right? And I prayed a long time to have Jeremiah. And so I said, okay, you did not give me the son so that I could not spend time with him. I believe you're going to provide for me and for this family, but not at the expense of quality time with him. So I decided that I was going to resign from my in-house counsel position. And I actually took a bought an interest in a franchise where I serve as the general counsel there. And it's a children's enrichment franchise. It allows me to spend time with him. He loves Legos. It's based on Legos, et cetera. I did that for like 3.5, almost 4 years. And again, it's back to, you know, when God calls you to something, you just have to keep, you know, he will not allow, they call him the hound of heaven, because he just will not allow you to rest easy when you're not in his purpose, right? So I started getting the stirring like, okay, it's back to the law. I love the law. I enjoy the law. My son is a little bit older. I still want the flexibility of spending time with him. So I launched my practice full time in 2019, and I have been full speed ahead ever since.
Talk about launching and raising capital. How did that happen?
So interestingly, I never raised any capital. I just funded my own business, which is something, you know, when you hear the story of a lot of entrepreneurs, that's what happens. You know, you have this idea, you want to get, you know, you want to launch it, you want to move forward, you just start it. It was the same thing when I opened my franchise, when I bought into the franchise, I used personal savings. And just did it. I never really borrowed any money until the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit for the law firm, just focusing exclusively on the law firm now, I just took the resources that I had. I had the computer, I had the knowledge, and I, you know, the resources that I need, the legal resources that I needed in terms of the, you know, legal research platforms. I just funded myself and then funded through the income that I came into the firm.
Attorney Mack, what is the best decision you've made as a leader?
Absolutely, hands down, to invest in continuing education. And what I mean by that is not necessarily continuing education in the law, which is important, but understanding how to be a business owner. So I know how to do the law. I knew how to work within corporations. I knew how to counsel. But in terms of knowing how to operate a profitable business, I needed to learn that. So what I've always done is invest in myself. And so I joined the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program, learned how to run a business, how to understand financials, how to properly market myself, all of the things I did not learn in school, right? I went through after I finished that program, I went through the SBA Emerging Leaders program, which is an excellent program that further enables you to understand how to operate your business, how to grow your business, how to create a growth plan, how to create SMART goals. Probably the best decision I have ever made as a business owner is to continue to invest in learning how to run a successful business.
What is something that we should know about legacy planning as consumers that we don't know that you wish we knew?
Oh, this is such a great question. So when I talk to my clients about legacy planning and just people in general about legacy planning, I want to say that legacy planning and estate planning is not exclusively for the wealthy, right? I really want to and the way I want to talk about this in terms of everybody has had a relative that has passed away and they didn't have a will. Everyone that I know, I can't talk about a person that has not had an experience of a relative or someone close to them that passed away and they didn't have a will. They had to go through the probate court and they had to hire lawyers and they had to have family members fighting over chairs and stuff like that. Most of us have had an experience where we've had a relative that has experienced some level of dementia or losing some level of capacity. And somebody has to step in and take care of that relative's business, right? In order to avoid the result of having to interact with the court, because you can't just step in and take care of someone's business without having proper authority. In order to do that, you need to plan for it. And that's what's called legacy planning. Legacy planning is both planning for pre-death and post-death. So this is what pre-death planning looks like. It looks like a power of attorney. It looks like somebody who can step into my shoes in any time of an emergency if I'm not able to handle my own business without going to the court. It's a trusted person that I feel is able to come in and say, okay, I can, you know, I know where Pamela's, where the bank accounts are. I know how to contact her clients, all of that. That is accomplished by a power of attorney. That is a part of estate planning, having that trusted person in place and the right document to let someone else step into your shoes. It could be mom or dad or sister or brother. It's somebody that can step into your shoes, power of attorney. Then it's also planning for emergency situations where you get into an accident and you're in the hospital somewhere and somebody needs to talk to the doctor about what is going on with you. That is having the right document to allow those individuals to both engage with doctors and to also make decisions in the event you're not able to. So that's the HIPAA authorization release. And that is the healthcare directive, right? It's, I've got somebody who, if you remember the case of Terry Schiavo? Do you remember that case? A 26-year-old, brain dead, people fighting about whether or not she's going to remain on life support. Hundreds and thousands of dollars in litigation, doctors in the middle. To avoid that result, you get a document in place that says, this is the person that I designate to speak on my behalf. These are my wishes, or I have told them what my wishes are. You give it to the doctor, and then there's no fighting. They're not hundreds of thousands of dollars and bickering in the hospital room. That is pre-death planning. Post-death planning says, okay, I don't want my assets to go to people I don't want them to go to. And I want, when I die, for everything to be orderly. Now, my estate may not look like your estate, but I'm accumulating some things over my lifetime. So I want it to go orderly. So I'm going to put a will in place. I'm going to say, this is the person that's best to interact with the court if we decide that we're going to do court. So there's the will. And then there's a trust. Sometimes people want to avoid the court situation altogether. They want to manage their own life, their assets in their lifetime. And when they die, if you have a trust, somebody steps in, there's an orderly transfer of stuff. This document says, okay, this goes to this person, this goes to that person. You don't even have to interact with the court. So that's what estate planning looks like. As your assets grow larger, then your planning gets to be much more critical because you want to avoid certain taxes. But I wish people understood that so they would get stuff together before they have to go to court, before mom or dad starts experiencing some kind of dementia. Make sure that they have that in place so that you can orderly take care of their business. Otherwise, you got to go ask the court, is it possible for me to go and manage mom's affairs? Can I put her in a nursing home? You can't do that without a power of attorney.
So, Attorney Pamela, you talked about power of attorney, and someone is sitting there and they're saying, okay, if I am a husband and a wife, do I still need power of attorney? Because that's my husband, that's my wife.
Excellent, excellent question. So the question is yes. And I'm going to give you an example, two examples of where it, so I have a couple that I worked with. The gentleman, you know, the wife pretty much managed all the stuff, or, you know, usually one or the other managed the financial affairs. The husband became sick. He had a policy in place that handled his long-term health care, right? It was his policy that he set aside for long-term health care. He got sick, went into the hospital, was starting to experience some level of dementia, could not sign for himself. That, so the company says, okay, in order to get these benefits, you need to sign off on these benefits. Well, of course, he's not in a position to be able to sign off. He doesn't have capacity. He doesn't know what's going on. So the wife thought she'd be able to sign on his behalf. The company said, no. Do you have a power of attorney? It's either power of attorney or he has to sign. So there are any number of cases where a husband or wife will, they're just certain times that you're not anticipating that your husband can transact business for you and you can transact business for your husband, because you're not, your name is not on something or something that you hadn't thought about you need to do. That's one example. Another example is when you have husband and wives, same couple, husband had a business, right? His business is incorporated in his name. He's the sole shareholder. He's the only one that can act in that business. Without a power of attorney to allow her to act, she doesn't have the capacity. She doesn't, she's not on his business. So she can't go in and even contact his clients when he's in the hospital. She doesn't have what document gives her the ability to do that. Sometimes we think that just because we're a husband or a wife of somebody that we automatically have those rights. You don't, in many, many circumstances. So every husband and wife also needs a power of attorney.
And someone is listening and they're saying, oh, grandma wrote a letter and said, oh, this is what should happen. This is what should happen. This is what should happen. And then she mailed the letter to herself. Will that hold up in a court of law?
For what? I know. So now we're talking. So we've gone from pre-death to post-death, right? So you're saying she wrote out a will, and this is what she wanted. She didn't have to mail it to herself, but she did for whatever reason. That was cute. She mailed it to herself. And she said, this is my last will and testament. She wrote it out. Well, it depends on the jurisdiction. Some jurisdictions allow for handwritten wills. Some don't. Let me give you an example of a recent case of someone very famous who wrote out three wills and the family is fighting in court. Aretha Franklin wrote out, they found three handwritten wills in, I think, in her couch. Millions of dollars have already been spent in attorney fees. And the heirs still, to my knowledge, they have not settled that estate. That's not advisable. It's not advisable because even if you wrote it out, who is to say that the provisions that you have in there are going to satisfy the orderly disposition of your property?
Attorney Pamela, you talked about legacy. When it's all said and done, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone who lived a life full of integrity, lived an honorable life, someone that my child can, and I'm going to quote a scripture, rise up and call me blessed, because I put first things first. So I love being a business owner. Entrepreneurship is in my blood. I mean, it's just in my blood. My dad's an entrepreneur. My mom is an entrepreneur. And I love being a lawyer. It's a great achievement. But at the end of the day, I am going to be called into account to say, did you raise your son well? Did you raise him to know me, the Lord? Did you fulfill your assignment? Did you operate in my purpose? So really, I want people to say, wow, you know, what a godly woman, you know, woman of integrity, raised her son well, was a, you know, contributor to society and was excellent at what she did.
The word is listening. What is that resounding sound or message that your generation is saying that we should be listening to?
I don't know. I'm thinking in this day and age, no matter what generation in our community, we're listening for justice. I think we're listening with everything that's going on. We're listening to see where this moment in time is taking us. We have watched in horror many African-American males, some females, be gunned down, be mistreated. We are listening for justice. We're listening to see what substantial changes are going to take place, what shifts are going to be taking place in mindsets. We're also listening for where is the church? For people of faith, we want to know, where is the church? Is the church going to, and I'm not talking about the Black church, I'm not talking about the white evangelical church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. What are we going to do in this moment? Are we going to sit silent? Are we going to say, you know, what are our prayers going to look like? I think that's what we're looking for. I think we're looking for a shift, and who are going to be the involved voices in making these things come to pass. It's not enough for thoughts and prayers. And I believe in prayer, and I believe in sending good thoughts to people, but faith without works is dead. What are we going to do in this moment?
So that's leading us to leadership. Who are our leaders and what is their message?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the leaders are going to be, you know, we're not at that generation where we have the leaders that were that one voice, like Martin Luther King or Jesse Jackson or John Lewis, those people. Now we've got organizations. We've got leaders in organizations like Black Lives Matter, right? I couldn't even tell you who leads that organization, but those are the people that are pushing the agenda. They're pushing the agenda for equity when it comes to Black and brown people. So I don't know who the leaders are. We have leaders of churches. We have our own pastors that we look to as leaders, and there are other organizations, but I don't know. We are such now an individualistic, you know, a me kind of focus. Well, you've got, you know, you've got these groups of, you know, the Me Too organizations that are leading for the voice of women and being treated fairly and not in a sexualized way, right? So to hold in to account those who would exploit women. So I see groups, I don't see clear that are leading charges, but I don't know who those clear leaders are.
Happy holidays to my fans, friends, and family of entrepreneurs. When you're looking for that just perfect present to give to those you love, here's a piece of advice. Look no further than Walmart. Walmart has a huge selection of items ranging from toys to electronics to tech. But what's even more impressive to me, Walmart has a huge selection of items created by people just like you, from makeup to fashion to food and beyond. Walmart has that perfect gift just waiting for your special someone. Give the children in your life a doll that looks just like them. Have a teen who's all about hair and makeup. Create a beauty basket of Black products that are designed for her needs. Your best friend is looking to redo, updo, do new her space. Check out all the home decor Walmart has to offer from Black designers. This year, joyfully and giftfully with the diversity of products created by Black entrepreneurs. I'm Dr. Frances Richards wishing you happy holidays. This message is sponsored by Walmart. I want you to have a monologue. I want you to name the person you're talking to. And this person has impacted your life so much. They could be living or not. Who is that person? And what are you saying to that person?
So I'm talking to my mom, who is living. She's 78 years old, phenomenal woman. And I want to say thank you for raising me. Thank you for setting an example for me of a godly woman, a woman of grace and dignity and honor. Thanks for showing me how to persevere. Thanks for showing me how not to curl up in the corner when life hits you in very hard and very difficult ways. Thank you for showing strength. Thank you for hiding things from your children that in wisdom they could not understand. And when I say that, thank you for, you know, in some ways shouldering burdens alone that helped us to continue to live life without ever knowing that you were having such a hard time. Just thank you for your continual encouragement. Thank you for being a model of a godly woman. And thank you for loving my child and being a wonderful grandmother to him. Thank you for modeling entrepreneurship. Thank you for quitting your job when you were fed up with that man at the company who was just on the border of sexually harassing you and saying, you know, I'm better than this. I don't have to put up with this. I have three kids. I'm a single mother. I have three kids. I'm trusting God and I'm going to open up a real estate. I'm going to do real estate. And she literally has done that for many, many years. So, you know, her strength allowed me to walk away from a very significant salary and the prestige of being in-house counsel for a global company when I was fed up with some stuff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's my monologue to my mom.
What can we do right now to support your business?
You can reach out and seek if you have a legal need. I want to say this to anybody who does not have an estate plan, get started, right? Get started. Even if you don't feel like you have the resources for a full plan, it's not probably as expensive as you think, but it's, you know, it's an investment. Even if you don't have the resources for a full plan, get the documents you need in place one by one. Get your power of attorney in place. This is what I can pay for this week or this month. Then the next month, get your living trust in place, or get your medical durable power of attorney so that somebody can step in and take care of your medical needs if you have an emergency. So if you have a need, if you have a estate planning need, or if you have a contract you want to have negotiated, you want to have reviewed, give me a call. Head over to my website, take a look at the things that I have to offer in the commercial business space and in the estate planning space. And if you are looking for counsel, and if you're in Michigan, I am licensed in Michigan. I have a pending license in New York State, and I will be expanding. But if you're in those areas, please feel free to reach out.
And give them the website again.
It is www.macklawgrp.com. So that's macklawgrp.com.
Thank you for that. There are so many brands and businesses that are dominating. Talk about a brand or a business that's dominating that you admire and why.
Wow. So this was an easy one. I love all of your questions. Some of them kind of stumped me as I was looking through them, but this one was an easy one. I really admire Rihanna. And this is why. So I do not listen to her music. I recognize her voice, but this is why I really admire her. She looked at a market of, cosmetics, and she saw the need to have multiple shades. Now, you know, I've been wearing makeup since I was 16 years old, right? So then there was the fashion fair, right? You remember fashion fair? But whenever you would try and get just the right shade, it was like MAC worked well for some people. It was a little bit too, it just was never quite right. So Rihanna looked at this market and said, okay, I'm just about to bust this market wide open, right? I'm going to have about 50 different shades because Black people and white people, you know, minorities, Black and brown people, we have all kind of hues. So she went in and dominated that market and really forced the hand of the major folks in this space to start doing the same. So then what she did is she went in and she said, okay, with this lingerie, right? So everybody knows that Victoria's Secret had dominated the space for such a long time. You go in there and everything's like super expensive and all the models are perfect, right? So you've got they used to do the little fashion show and every model was at a perfect figure. And Rihanna came in and said, this is just ain't even reality, right? And she burst that market wide open. She now has all kind of lingerie. And the most beautiful, refreshing thing about it is her models are fabulous at all shapes and sizes. So I sat back, I was like, this young woman has a phenomenal business mind. I mean, she's talented in other areas. I know she's talented in music, but she's just gone after these markets in a really unique way. And she exploited, and I want to use that in a good way. She exploited these markets in a way that forced the big beauty brands to change how they did business.
Yeah, so we would say Rihanna is a disruptor.
Yep, she was a disruptor for sure. And in a lot of, I mean, I know that she did some collaborations with some designers, things like that. But those are the things that really impressed me about her.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. Who is Pamela Mack and what matters to Pamela Mack?
I am a mother, an author, a children's author. I wrote a children's book. First, I am a mom. My first priority is Jeremiah Mack. He is 13 years old. He is the apple of my eye. And I, along with his dad, are really focused on making certain that he gets the values and the education that he needs to be successful in this world. That is my first charge. I am I'm on the board of directors of Perfecting Church, which is pastored by Marvin L. Winans here in Detroit. And so that is a ministry, a love that I do serve on that board. I've served on that board for many years. I'm a lawyer who loves what she does. I really do. I love being a lawyer. I think this is my purpose. It's for which I was born, to serve people and to help people to meet their business and personal goals. That's who I am. I'm a friend. I'm a sister. Yeah, that's it.
Tell us about your children's book and how can we read it?
So I wrote a book called My Name is Judah. When my son was about 3 or 4 years old, you know, we had all these books for him. We had books about jazz because we love jazz. We had these books about, you know, all kinds of things. But I was looking around at covers, right? Book covers. And I said, you know, I don't really see any books with brown boys on the front. And I was just talking about minority children on the front. I'm talking about brown boys. And everybody likes to see reflected back themselves. So I've got this brown boy. And I wanted a book that reflected what he looks like. My son's name is Jeremiah, but the book's called My Name is Judah. And it's about a boy with a unique name who meets other children. And the one child is Tom. He's a Caucasian. He meets Susie, who is an Asian, a little girl. And he meets Jorge, who is Hispanic. And they go about enjoying their day. And he reveals the secret of his name and they have fun, you know, for the rest of the day. So I created this book, first of all, because the manuscript just sort of came to me. And then I wanted a book that kind of reflected back what made my son happy to look at it. It's colorful and it's got a picture of a little brown boy on the front. And it's available on Amazon. It's called My Name is Judah and it's under my name.
Thank you for that. What problem exists in the world today that you'd like to solve?
The problem I've been talking about today, that people don't have estate plans like they should. Only about a quarter of Americans have an estate plan in place. That's a problem I would really like to solve. The other thing that I think our firm solves is bringing the kind of high quality C-suite level legal experience and making it accessible to small business owners that otherwise would not have access to it. And I say small business owners, my clients primarily are not small. They're more medium-sized and larger businesses. But yeah, so that's the problem we saw.
Talk to a younger you. What advice would you give to a younger you?
Listen to your grandmother intently. Intently. I like that question because I think about that for a moment, but my grandmother's a very wise woman, very wise. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I actually got that aha moment. Like all that stuff that she told you that you thought was old fashioned, that you thought was, you know, not relevant to you, smart lawyer, business, you know, all of that started to come back. So yeah, listen to your grandmother. Listen to the people around you that are wise. They always have something very valuable that they can impart into your life.
Fill in the blanks, Attorney Pamela. Grandma said.
So now you're getting, you know. Okay, so I will say this. Your audience may not agree with this, but it was the truth. You know, she gave great advice about male and female interactions, right? This I found to be profound. She said, you never, and this was not something that I did, okay? But she said, you never have to wonder about whether or not a man is interested in you, right? They're not going to be too shy to approach you. She said, because a man is built, he is wired to pursue. So you don't have to ever pursue anybody. A man is wired to pursue. So it is true, and I believe it to be true, and it has been true in my life. No matter how shy a man is, if he's interested, he will let you know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest achievement so far in business or life?
Biggest achievement in life is becoming a mom. The business, biggest achievement in business, I'd say is, you know, because my firm is relatively new, right? But my biggest achievement in business had to have been with my franchise. So my franchise was in operation for only about 2.5 years, and we won out of 150 global franchisees. We won the Franchisee of the Year Award, and we won it for profitability and innovation. So our franchise is called Bricks for Kids, and we teach kids STEM using Lego bricks. You're in Las Vegas. There's a creativity center there, and I think it's in Henderson and in Summerlin. It's a big Bricks for Kids facility. It's a creativity center. But basically what we did is we teach kids STEM using Lego bricks. The model of the franchise is really after-school activities for after-school programming. Well, what we did is we took that model and we literally took it into the school district. And we made that model accessible to, normally when you're paying for after-school programs, you're paying out of pocket and that can be expensive. That can be a couple hundred dollars a week for programming. Well, if you're operating in an urban area, you may not be able to pay for that. So we were trying to figure out how can we get this high quality program available to students, but make somebody else pay for it except their parents, right? And we ended up getting a very large contract with the largest school district in the state of Michigan. And we served thousands of children. And the franchisor said, what are you guys doing in Detroit? How in the world are you operating at this level, serving these children and making all this money? We became advisors to the franchisor, which kind of led them to think of their programming in a different way. So I think that was a significant achievement, and we were really quite proud of that.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
If someone wrote an autobiography about you, what would the title be?
Pamela Mack, the Proverbs 31 businesswoman.
Thank you for that. What is one valuable lesson you wish you knew before starting your business?
I think maybe collaborate. I think this maybe goes to a discussion that maybe it's not quite on point with your question, but it's, I think, a valuable point. Before we started this broadcast, we talked about collaboration and where people tend to get information. Years ago, I heard a speaker from Africa give a talk called Go Borrow Vessels. And he was talking about a passage in the Bible that deals with this woman who was really, she had no resources left, right? She was basically about to go make something and die. And she talked to someone who told her, asked her, what do you have in your house? And she said, well, I have a little bit of oil and I'm going to make some and I'm going to go die because I have, you know, we're in a famine or whatever. He said, well, go to your neighbors and borrow vessels. Don't just borrow a few. Go and get as many as you can, right? So she goes out and she gets all these vessels and then she starts to pour this oil and there's like oil in all of these vessels, right? And so the talk was, and he actually wrote a book about this, was when you're a business owner, you have to get information from a lot of different sources, right? Don't just get, you've got some talent, right? That's your oil, right? But go out and figure out how the rest of the world does what they do successfully. That's your borrowing vessels. You're not stealing their ideas, but you're figuring out what is it that they captured and how can you use that in your business, right? I thought that was, you know, because sometimes we just only want to talk to our folks, right? Just the people that we're comfortable with. I'm comfortable talking to you. You're another African-American PhD. I've got an advanced degree. We got some things in common. We're going to talk. You're in another area. I'm comfortable here, right? But there's a whole world out there of people that have very divergent experiences, but you can learn so much from them. You can share with them. You can take what you have learned, not stealing their ideas. Take what they've learned and apply it. So that's probably the greatest lesson that I've learned. Another lesson, a really good lesson that I've learned in business, an important lesson in business that I learned when I was doing pharmaceutical sales. I was always making excuses, right, for why I could not get my paperwork on time. And I had a really wise boss. I was really good at what I did, but always getting my paperwork in late. I used to make excuses. Well, I didn't do. And he looked at me one day, and I mean, this is years ago, but I never forgot it. He said, "Pam, don't make excuses. The best thing for you to do is to accept the responsibility and say, I'll do better, and then do better." And boy, when I tell you, that is a lifelong lesson. It served me very well. I remember my first time as in-house counsel, working with my boss, and I made a mistake. And he came in and he was not happy, right? And he sat there and he was like, you know, this is just not acceptable. You know, this is, and I was tempted to try and, but I'm telling you, that lesson so resonated with me that I said, I dropped the ball on this one. I made a terrible mistake. It will not happen again. And he looked at me like, because people are not used to other people making, accepting responsibility, right? He was fully ready for me to be defensive. I'm like, I dropped this ball. And it serves me well. It serves me well.
About business continuity, what is your highest risk as a business owner?
I'm a solo practitioner. My biggest risk right now is, again, the same thing that I was talking about, the legacy planning. Just not having someone to step in my shoes. I have a power of attorney, but literally somebody to, I need to get someone in place that can take over what I do if I need to step away from this business for a second, right? If something happens to me, that they not only will be able to, you know, contact clients and things like that, but actually service the client and get the matters that are on my desk done. So that's critically important. Most people who serve as entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, this is their biggest problem, right? So my goal is to expand to 5 attorneys in over the next few years at the end of the fourth quarter to add on an attorney that will solve that problem, hopefully.
We're going to switch roles. If you conducted this interview, what is the one question you would have asked yourself? I want you to ask the question and answer it.
I think you've done a fantastic job. Again, okay, so I'm going to go to your questions, right? If you'll give me a moment, let's see. You asked, what does self-care look like? You know, we're all so busy as entrepreneurs. And, you know, every word out of my mouth is Jeremiah, right? Because he's the priority right now. But, you know, we got to take care of ourselves. So I'm really good at that, right? I am very good. I'm not the type of person who does not know how to say no to people or to say, I can't do that. Or, you know, even during this pandemic, when people want to do things, you know, engage in behaviors that, you know, maybe they want to still go out and they want to meet at a restaurant or something like that. I'm really good at saying, no, I can't do that, right? I can't do that right now and feel good about it. I reserve time for myself. I love to curl up on the couch with a good book or a good K-drama, which is like all the rage. I love Korean dramas. That's a whole different thing. That's the thing I enjoy doing. I love good music. I love to travel. And so I think it's very important because we are not just our jobs. We are not just moms. We are, you know, we're not just moms or dads. We are individuals who need time to spend some time with self-care. So, yeah, that's one question that I would have asked.
Thank you.
I'm
Dr. Francis wishing you happy holidays. When you're looking for that perfect present to gift to those you love, look no further than Walmart. This year, joyfully and giftfully with the diversity of products created by Black entrepreneurs. This message is sponsored by Walmart.
We've come to the part of our interview. It's called Fun Facts Lightning Round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I'd like you to give me very quick answers. If there's something you desire not to answer, feel free to say pass.
Okay.
Are you ready for the Fun Facts Lightning Round?
Yeah.
Your first job.
Oh, I was a co-op with the Michigan Credit Union League.
You relax doing what?
Oh, watching K-dramas.
Your favorite singer or rapper?
Oh, I don't have a favorite, but I love Djavan, who is a Portuguese singer from Brazil.
Your favorite dance song?
Pass. I can't even think of one.
Your favorite color?
Blue.
What food you eat every week, no matter what?
Every day, strawberries or some kind of fruit.
Your favorite month?
May, my birthday month.
Work out or hit the couch?
I want to say work out, but it's really hit the couch. I need to be
there. Attorney Pamela Mack, thank you so much for spending time with us on Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast. Before we let you go, why don't you share with our audience the best way for them to connect with you and to do business with you? And feel free to leave all your social media handles.
Okay, so please connect with me. Probably the easiest way is to shoot me an email at info@maclawgrp.com. The other best way is LinkedIn. I am on LinkedIn, Pamela Mack of the Mack Law Group. I'm on Facebook, Mack Law GRP, and then personally on Pamela Denise Mack. I probably will not answer the Pamela Denise Mack because I don't do a lot of personal social media. I'm also on Twitter at Nosy Lawyer. I'm on Instagram at Nosy Lawyer as well.
Thank you, Attorney Mack. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to Black Entrepreneur Experience. We would love for you to leave a review and rating on iTunes and share with your friends. For show notes and more episodes, go to www.beepodcast.com. Join us next Wednesday, and remember, green is the new black. So keep your bank accounts and your business in the black.